Good evening. I'm Louisa Stevens, and welcome to the sixth installment of Financial Intelligence, where your money is your business. We're well on our way now discussing how to create time and financial leverage, because ultimately we want to create IID lifestyles for us and our families. In the last episode, we discussed network marketing, because network marketing is a very easy way of starting to generate cash flow that is independent from your full-time job or the business that generates your income. Network marketing is a great way to start a business if you do not have the skill and know-how to start a business or do not have the capital or time to do so. Many financial and business gurus also support network marketing, and I personally recommend it as well. However, we do know that some people would prefer to start a business or buy a business that is a traditional business. You know, they want something that is their own, that they can put their own stamp on. So what are your options then as far as starting or acquiring a business is concerned? Some individuals are fortunate enough to have a trade or profession that lends itself to becoming self-employed quite easily. That would be people like electricians, carpenters, and plumbers in the trades, as well as attorneys, accountants, and estate agents when you're talking about professionals. Notice, though, I said that these trades and professionals lend themselves to becoming self-employed easily. I did not say a business. That's because there is a huge difference between owning your job, that's being self-employed, and owning a business. A business is a method of generating an income that's supported by systems and processes and resourced with people, so your employees, who actually implement those processes in order to generate revenue and ultimately a profit. Now, if you own a business, then your business can survive without you. Have you ever asked yourself this? If you were to leave your business for a six-month period without responding to any calls and phone calls for an extended holiday, when you come back, would your business still be standing? Would you still have customers? And would you still be generating an income and a profit? If the answer to that question is no, then you're self-employed. You do not have a business. Until you actually develop the processes and systems that do not depend on you, then you will remain self-employed. So why, how do you then start, you know, creating those systems and processes? Well, it all starts with empowering your people. Start small. You know, if you start rewarding your employees for starting to take decisions and make those decisions without your interference, then you are well on your way on starting to create systems and processes that don't need you. But of course, you want to start small. You want to give your employees a small area to start exercising their decision-making abilities. And as they prove themselves, reward them with more responsibilities and, of course, money. And then start developing processes then that must be implemented by our employees. That would be processes for ordering, processes for making payments to your suppliers, processes for opening customer accounts, and so forth. And all the other activities that need to be implemented in your organization to keep on running it. Once that is done, then you're well on your way. It's well and good to talk about having a trade or profession that lends itself well to starting a business or being self-employed. But what if that is not an option for you? What do you do then? Well, there are still options. You can purchase a franchise or purchase an existing business. Now, of the two, a franchise is the easier. The franchisor, so that is the head office that has developed the system, provides you with a system to follow. For example, KFC and McDonald's are very good examples of good franchises. If you go to a KFC or McDonald's in New York or in London or in Hong Kong or in Johannesburg, you know what to expect. You'll find the same processes and systems, the same foods, and it's like being anywhere in the world, so you know what to expect. And for the luxury of having those processes designed for you, you will pay royalties to the franchisor on a monthly basis for the system and the support that they will provide to you. But how do you determine what type of franchise is the right franchise? Well, the answer lies in due diligence. It's very important to ascertain that the support that your franchisor promises you is actually delivered once you actually purchase your franchise. I would recommend that you go around and talk to existing franchisees who've purchased a franchise with your franchisor and ask them questions around whether they're happy with their business. Is the business doing well? What kind of support they're getting from the franchisor? And are there any concerns that they have? And what sort of dispute resolution mechanisms do they have in place to resolve any problems that may exist? Once you've done that, then you can start, thinking about completing the paperwork and paying for the purchase price. Because remember, once you've purchased a franchise, it is non-refundable and it's a very expensive mistake to make if you don't do your homework. What if you choose to do the second option, that is buy an existing business? How do you go about finding a business to buy? An easy way to do this is to find a family-owned business where the owners are at or near retirement. Typically, you'd find that the children of the owners are not interested in carrying on with the business, or the owners do not have any children to hand over the business to. So, they would be keen to find someone who can buy their business so that they have the cash flow to go on and retire. Alternatively, then you would be looking to find a bigger business that's looking to spin off a smaller business that can become a niche. Now, how do you then make sure that when you're buying a business, you're getting what is promised? What is very important is to make sure that there is a handover period while the existing management or owners are exiting the business. You typically want to have a 12 to 24 month period where there is a sensible handover of the responsibilities in the business and a handover of the relationships that are critical to a business's survival. Typically, customer relationships and supplier relationships reside with the owners or managers. So, unless you have a proper handover period, you might find yourself not having a business at the end of the day because the customers or suppliers do not trust you. I would also recommend that you tie in the handover period with some sort of earnings warranty where you pay a deferred purchase consideration subject to meeting certain requirements because you want to make sure that the business will continue to perform as it has in the past. And still, even with buying a business, it's important to do your homework because sometimes, certain things cannot be recovered if you find that you purchased a lemon. Notice when you start a business or you take over an existing business, your business will not run itself. In the beginning, you will need to be there to implement the systems and processes and to implement the discipline in your employees to operate the processes in the manner that you've set out. Once that process is done, then the business will pay you over and over and over and over again, and you'll have a very successful business that you can rely on to design the lifestyle that you desire. In the next installment, we'll be talking about investing because, of course, once you've made the money, you need to be able to make the money, regenerate and to work for you as well. I look forward to seeing you next time and wishing you a financial future that makes sense with financial intelligence.